Mother, fathers, and all the kids in the family, welcome back to the show.
I was like, oh God, he's going to do it.
Yep.
Nick was in our ear before going, cuss, I'm going to go hot. And he went, mother. I was like, oh no,
dang, Joel ain't playing around.
Joel don't care.
Chub Rock, one of my favorites.
Good song.
Yep.
You're off to a stellar start.
I had to make this show more than respectful.
Speaking of, somebody said, I know it's fun to pick on Nick, but his hour was better than the second hour.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
on to you for reading that, too.
Well,
no, I was just saying. You're just showing to show that we have all kinds that listen to this show.
Yeah, idiots and, you know.
I wish I had Biz Markie and Big Pun, but there's a couple of other songs on the list that's yet to be played that I don't want to ruin that Joel has on his list.
It's a pretty decent list.
It's a pretty good list.
I had to respond. I had to respond with a couple of haymakers after getting told to suck it last night.
Suck it, bitches, is what I said. Told y'all.
No, you said suck it, slowpokes.
Yeah, slowpokes.
Oh, I didn't say bitches?
No, I said biatches.
And then you responded to the email saying, suck it yourself, biatch.
I meant to call y'all bitches. I did.
I did.
I apologize for not calling you bitches. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we want to get this call?
I guess so.
Joe.
What up, Joe?
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I just wanted to put my input on what y'all were talking about the last hour about the tickets, man. I try to take advantage of my company's tickets all the time. You know, when they offer them, it's not like I can pay for them and afford them myself. So if my company has, like, free tickets, I take advantage of it, me and my buddies.
Now, and I don't blame you, Joe, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, if someone gives you free tickets, there's a different response level. For
sense
you.
Of urgency. Different sense of
correct.
Urgency.
Better way of putting it. Correct. There's a different sense of urgency. If that came out of your check every time they gave you tickets, you damn well were going to use them, or you were going to find someone that would and also reimburse you for the price of those tickets. But if you didn't pay for them, hey, it's awesome when you can go. But if something comes up,
oh, hell yeah,
and you can't get, or you get caught in traffic and go, you know what? Nah, I'm just not going to go tonight.
Yeah, let's say you're there's a wreck on 59 and you're trying to get home and you're behind schedule and you get to the house and you got to let the dogs out and all this. And then all of a sudden you just call your boys. You're like, man, you know what? Y'all go without me. I don't care. And they're like, well, we're at the bar drinking. We're not going to go. That sense of urgency isn't there, though.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
But, like, it's also dependent on how big of a sports fan you are, too, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, you do have those people out there that, like, do get the tickets without even, like, asking, and they're just throwing them off, putting them off on somebody else, or don't even go.
Yep, that's a good point, Joe. Yep.
Joe. Good input.
Appreciate the call.
Look, I mean, I told you guys to this, and I don't understand this. Maybe you can give me an explanation for this. And, Nick, you're a Coug. And you guys are both lifelong Houstonians. I can't tell you how many times I've seen two examples. I've seen UConn when they had great teams full of NBA talent come to Tudor Fieldhouse to play Rice. I've seen Calipari bring Kentucky into Hawfines. I have walked into that building on a general admission ticket. I have walked right down into the first two or three rows, and I watched future NBA talent because people just don't care.
I can't disagree with you there. Huh? I don't know if this is going to be a different season with some of the upgrades they've made on campus at the University of Houston, but I don't imagine it will. And I can totally see you getting in on general admission, getting down to the first or second. I've been to like three basketball games. When I was at a Coug, I went to more of the football games.
Mm-hmm.
Just because in terms of basketball, I appreciate the NBA more. That's just my preference. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I could totally see you getting into the first row on general admission.
And we're talking
second.
About Calipari bringing in like major talent. Now, how are they doing at TDECU? Since they got the new digs for football, are they filling it up?
That's a good question. I went to
a game in the last half of Tom Herman's last season when they were good.
Yeah,
not that they're not bad this year. Where they play. Yeah, it was three quarters full at that time, and that was when they were hot.
Still rolling.
Yeah. So I mean, even then, it's an uphill battle.
What's the capacity over there at TD? It's like 40,000.
Yeah, well, that's where I watched it at. Yeah, it was. It was. It wasn't. I would have thought there would have been more people there. You know what I mean? Even for that, but I don't know. Like I said, man, Houston's a different animal when it comes to sports. Chicago, Boston, you would never. The Garden's never going to be empty. You know what I mean?
United Center in Chicago, regardless of how bad they suck, they fill that place up.
Yep.
It's just crazy.
On the other side, I think we have to talk two things. We've got to talk some college football.
Yep.
We got to talk this new poll out.
Yep.
But I found this list of free agents that every team should sign.
Mm-hmm. In baseball.
Yeah, in baseball, you're going to hate the Astros answer.
Are we going to do the fast food rankings or no?
Yeah, we can do that too. We'll do that at 3:30.
We haven't even talked about the Rockets game. We've talked about butts and seats. We really haven't broken down the game itself, but if you want to get to that too.
I mean, what's the breakdown? City.
If they don't lost, turn, no one wants to talk about
don't
it.
Don't turn the ball over. You don't lose. There you go.
Play defense. All right. There right now, go. I want to tell you about American Wheel and Tire. I've telling you about them for a long time. Mike and Tammy Gus, the owners of the company, are just friends of mine that have done me right for the last 15 plus years. I've gone to them from everything from flat tires to rims and tires to all the different accessories that they can provide for your car, and you should too. They're conveniently located at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. And if you don't want to just hear it from me, you want to see examples, log on to AmericanWheelAndTire.com. You can see everything from their wheels and tires to their lift kits, Kevlar wraps and coatings, off-road accessories for your SUV or your pickup truck. They do it all. And they do it all while you wait, right there in a comfortable waiting room with a window right there to the work area where you can see what's being done to your vehicle. You can ask questions. They will communicate with you, and they're never going to try and screw you over or get you charged for something that you didn't want or didn't need within the process, because they want you to come back. As lifelong Houstonians, they want you to be a return customer anytime and every time you need anything for your wheels, your tires, or your car. That's just the way they do business at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street, or AmericanWheelAndTire.com. Right now, if you buy four new tires with mounting and balancing, you get a free Yeti tumbler right off the bat. All you got to do is mention ESPN when you go in. And also, every Thursday, every third Thursday of the month, but because of Thanksgiving, they're going to do it tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. in their parking lot at 290 and 34th Street. It's called Parking Lot Show-Off. Any and all types of cars can come. It's all free. From mild to wild, they just want to show off the cars and the people in Houston that know how to get them done the right way. Bayou City Blessings in a backpack is going to be collecting donations if you want to really do something to make a contribution. But the donations are optional and only appreciated, not required, as you can just go show off your vehicle and check out all the great vehicles that they have at American Wheel and Tire. 290 and 34th Street or AmericanWheelAndTire.com. Fat Joe, Nick.
Although I think you're disqualified.
Why?
Because
I think this song was released post the year 2000.
I looked it up.
Sure was.
I did too, and I played it anyway, so I can disqualify you.
This is post 2000 because I looked it up to put on my list.
Is it 01?
There was Fat Joe. There was. I was looking at Lean Back, post 2000. What's Love? Post 2000.
The game is over.
Barry wins.
For the first week, Barry wins?
I guess I could have given you some sort of heads up.
I'll own up to it.
2001, but it's a really good song. Released 2001.
Yeah,
What's
I thought
whenever
love? I looked on, I thought it was 99, but okay.
You know, your sources have failed you.
But my list hasn't. It's fantastic.
Even though it's illegal.
All right, what do you want to pick and choose from of your things to get to?
Yeah, so there's this thing on CBS Sports for the one free agent each of the 30 in an MLB team should sign this offseason. Now, we've all discussed ad nauseum that the Astros, if you're going to make any moves, should go out and make a bullpen move.
Correct.
Add somebody at the back end of that bullpen that can actually close a game out, that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you when they take the hill. Right?
Right.
Wade Davis has come up. We've talked Tony Watson.
Greg Holland.
CBS says Mike Minor.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Royals relief pitcher, used to be a starter with the Braves for several years, has had shoulder issues, goes away, comes back. Let's see. He last pitched in 2014, was gone for a while, came back in 2017. He was a starter for his 5 years in Atlanta. He pitched 1 year this year out of the bullpen, but he pitched lights out. You talk about reinventing yourself. This guy, his 5 years in Atlanta, 5.98 ERA, 4.14, 4.12, 3.21, 4.77. As a starter, he has 11-10 and 13-9 are his two best seasons.
Righty,
lefty. Comes back as a reliever this year for the Royals, 2.55 ERA, 65 appearances. He has had some shoulder issues, so it scares me. The numbers are there, but
listen. What are you going to pay to
get him? Here's not bad, but he's probably going to end up being a closer for a lower level team that maybe isn't as, on the cusp or just needs some bullpen help. Mm-hmm. My thing is this is a silly pick because I don't want a guy that's only done it for a year. The Astros are a perennial World Series team for the next 3 years. You need a closer that you can count on. You need a Wade Davis. Yeah, you don't want another guy that he might be a good closer. This guy has done it for 1 year and he's got six saves in the 65 appearances.
We talked about it last week.
Swing and a miss, CBS.
Giving people opportunities to work their way into positions. You are now at the elite level where you are only bringing in guys that are going to help you now with experience that have done this kind of thing before.
The Greg Holland, by the way, said that the Rockies would re-sign Greg Holland. That would be their big free agent acquisition, is just re-signing him to a multi-year deal.
Which would be smart if they could do that. But yeah. I mean, obviously, he wanted to reinvent himself, as you covered, and he did. And maybe he's not happy pitching in the altitude and all that.
He might be better somewhere else, right?
Right.
Yep, could be. They said that the Dodgers will re-sign Yu Darvish. That's going to be interesting.
I don't think so. Now, I saw and I read an article this morning, you know, that the leading candidate that's really going to make a hard push for him is the Minnesota Twins. Twins notorious for catching a guy on the discount.
Well, they could use some help in that rotation.
They need help in the rotation, and they know that based on what happened in the postseason, there's not going to be the heavy market for Yu Darvish that there probably would have been had he excelled in the postseason. I don't think he goes back to the Dodgers no matter what.
I think that they're a bit upset. You know what I mean?
I think if he would have performed at least decent, they would have won the World
Series. If they're looking to point the finger of blame at one person,
that's him.
It's going to be him.
Yep.
They have the Rangers signing Jake Arrieta. They have the St. Louis Cardinals signing J.D. Martinez.
I can see that. Yep. I could see Yu Darvish going back to Texas.
I could see that, too. I think he's comfortable there. They're comfortable with – they know who he is and
how to handle him.
Plus, they know that they're not going to make the playoffs, so they don't have to worry about him choking when they get there.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So that's some of the bigger ones on the list. I felt like that was a swing and a miss when the Astros. I don't think that's somebody that they would be targeting. But Baltimore's Jason Vargas. The Royals, Jason Vargas to Baltimore for some help in that.
Okay.
So that was just some of the bigger names that I saw in there.
What's Boston going to do, spend $100 million on two players?
They have Boston signing Eric Hosmer.
Really?
Yeah, Royals first baseman. It looks like the Royals are – everyone's jumping ship, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, you've got Hosmer going to the Red Sox, Vargas going to the Orioles, Moustakas to the Braves is what they say, plus the Mike Minor. It looks like they think the Royals are just getting broken up.
Small market syndrome?
Maybe just starting over.
Now they're done?
Starting over, yeah. Wow. They had their run, and now it's time to rebuild again and try it with some new ones. Lorenzo Cain, Giants.
I heard Lorenzo Cain being pursued by like 7 to 9 teams.
Yeah, they like him. A lot of folks are high on him. I've never been that guy, but a lot of folks love that dude.
Before we go to break, Brandon wants to get in here and talk about a potential Astros free agent. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What up?
I heard you guys talking about closers and all that stuff. I don't know what his deal's looking like, but I know the Nationals got Doolittle the second half of last year, and he's a lefty. He's also had some shoulder issues as well, but, I mean, that's not always an option, correct?
I think he's got a year or two left.
I think he had at least a year left.
But I will check on Sport Track for you. I will look up, Brandon, I'll look up his contract and give you the status after the break.
And again.
All right, sounds good. And Joel, I was the one on Twitter talking to you about the game this weekend. Go Blue.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I heard that shot fired. Well, I'll answer it on Monday. Look, here's the situation, too. When you're talking about that, there's two different needs. We talk about a lefty, but for the most part, they need a situational lefty because we know that Tony Sipp is just a garbage dumpster fire. And we know that Liriano's not going to be back. And I think Liriano's choice is to start anyway. So you could use a situational lefty, though we've pointed out many times on the show, you've got righties that do very well against lefties as well. But I think that the main glaring need is a shutdown closer that can come in and just slam the door, that you have confidence in, that you know every time he goes out, he's like Aroldis Chapman. He's like all the guys that we've named in the past, where you know when he comes in, there's not a shadow of a doubt that he's going to do it.
Yeah, and I guess I should clarify, that's what CBS was saying that they were signing Minor for, not to necessarily be a closer, but to be the situational lefty that they need. But that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if you're signing that guy to a multi-year deal that they're saying is going to be a closer for another team, then he's a closer. And if that's the case, or if that's not the case, that's not your biggest need as a situational lefty. You got guys, like you said, that can get lefties out. Go get a closer.
I think that's
either way. By the way, Brandon Doolittle has 3 years left on his contract. He won't be a free agent, an unrestricted free agent, until 2021.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, and Manager of the Year, we're giving away last night, Torey Lovullo of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Paul Molitor of the Minnesota Twins, getting those two awards. Tonight, we got the Cy Young Award winners. Tomorrow night, the MVPs. A.J. Hinch, I believe, finished third.
Really?
In the American League Manager of the Year.
It doesn't surprise me in a way when you figure you have that much talent.
Well, Francona had the streak.
Yeah.
And the Molitor turnaround.
They faded down the stretch.
They lost 100 games the year before. They made the playoffs. So it's understandable.
Yeah.
Hey, he got the main prize, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
All right, we've got two segments to go on the big show, so we're going to continue to roll on. Take a break here, and then we'll get back to business before 4 o'clock. And at 4, we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So you can just leave your dialed right in to ESPN 97.5 from now for the rest of your drive home. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Hey, back for the final half hour of the big show as we continue to move on. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, as we have the usual suspects for you till 4 o'clock each and every weekday, followed by Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. We wanted to get to the college football rankings came out last night, fellas. Surprise to many, or maybe some, not to us. I think that's pretty much how we had it mapped out, except we had the four teams correct. We just didn't have that order.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had Miami, Alabama, OU, Clemson.
You had Miami number one?
Yeah.
I did not have Miami number one, but I definitely had Miami at two.
I had Miami number one because they just beat the number three ranked Notre Dame team, the number three ranked team in the country, and Bama struggled. Bama could have and probably should have lost that game. They won it on the final drive. They didn't look well. I heard somebody yesterday on the radio say that they looked vulnerable and that Auburn could come up and get them in the Iron Bowl in the last game of the year, and I believe that. I think Bama, don't get me wrong, they're a great football team, but they're beatable. They haven't gone undefeated, you know, including postseason along. They're beatable by some of the better teams in the country. And the way that Miami handled that Notre Dame offensive line, the way that defensive line stepped up and played stopped
out
the run game. I don't know. I mean, they're undefeated as well. I know Bama's undefeated, but when you look at signature wins, who is Bama really beat?
Is it fair to say Bama is ranked more based on recruiting and reputation?
Ranked more for getting that number one spot is reputation. They barely beat Mississippi State at 16. They did beat a decent LSU team when they were 19. But when you look at Miami, they just beat the number three Notre Dame team, and it wasn't even close. 41-8, that was an ass whooping. Then they beat Virginia Tech 28-10. Everyone thought they might lose that game. Everyone thought, well, how are they going to look against some of these other? I mean, they've handled every obstacle that was put in front of them so far.
But again, the committee is going to say that's all fine and dandy, but just like Wisconsin saying they've handled every obstacle, but they're going to say a weak schedule, their non-conference schedule.
Wisconsin hasn't beat the number three team in the country either.
I get
it,
but I think the disservice is I had Alabama number one, but I had Miami number two, Clemson number three, and the fact that you have Clemson over Miami, I don't agree with at all.
No, I didn't. I had Miami. Them. Yeah, I'm
now,
with you.
I firmly believe that when Miami and Clemson square off in the ACC championship game, I believe Clemson will beat them.
Okay.
I think because from an offensive perspective, I think Clemson brings more to the table talent-wise and offensively than Miami does.
Defensively?
Okay. No, and I think they're both great defensive teams in college football. But I think that Clemson, but we'll let that play out. Regardless, that's going to play out. So it doesn't really matter if we, you know, hem and haw about who's ranked where now, because that's one of those situations that'll take care of itself because they're on a crash course to play each other. So we'll see how that goes. Alabama's going to stay where they are, but they're going to have some tough games going forward. Any surprises to you? Other than what we talked
about? Not really. I think the top six, I think it's just the order. I had OU third. They have them fourth. I had Clemson fourth. They have them second. So, I mean, the top four was the same. And then I had Wisconsin and Auburn in that order at 5 and 6. So that doesn't really surprise me all that much. But the big tumbles was Washington fell 9 spots to number 18. Michigan State fell again to number 17. They've now got 3 losses.
Yep.
TCU fell 6 spots to 12. Georgia fell 6 spots to number 7. And Notre Dame fell 5 spots to number 8. So,
I think the good thing is it's going to sort itself out for the most part. For all we had problems with the BCS and how they still didn't, did they get it right? Weren't there enough teams? Did everybody get a fair shake? It looks like, because as we talked about, look, Alabama's going to have to play Georgia and Alabama, you know, and we're going to have an SEC championship game and an ACC championship game is going to involve Clemson and Miami. So we're going to weed a lot of that out. I really believe, as I told you, we're going to have a Big Ten championship game, which is going to provide no Big Ten representative in the Final Four, because I don't think Wisconsin can go undefeated the rest of the season. And I think Ohio State can make sure of that, even if they don't lose this week to Michigan. So I think that that's the best part of this process, is it's not going to be a lot of guessing games and what ifs and you should have and could have and would have. It's going to be that this is going to sort itself out for the most part by the time we get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we said last week that there was going to be some stuff that got settled. Notre Dame, Miami, the winner of that game was going to determine, you know, who was going to be in it and who was going to get bounced. And now Notre Dame is probably out of it at 8-2. They're probably not going to make the top four. The Iron Bowl is going to determine what happens between Auburn and Alabama. Regardless of what happens in the SEC championship game, if Alabama wins that, they're not losing that SEC championship game, and they're going to roll on and be in the playoffs. If Auburn wins it, then it becomes curious, because Georgia's sitting on the outside looking in. If Georgia beats Auburn and Auburn beats Alabama, now what the hell do you do? Yeah. You know what I mean? So that Iron Bowl could go a long way to determine what happens for those three teams.
Because if Auburn beats Georgia, then they go in and beat Alabama. And then they get to the SEC championship game, and they win that.
And they're in. If they lose that, then what?
You got to justify that as they deserve a spot in the Final Four.
Because it could be, I mean, is it possible that Georgia gets in if they beat Auburn? If Auburn beats Bama and Georgia beats Auburn in the SEC game, is Georgia in? Because remember, they were number one last week. Then they would have turned around and beat the team that beat
lost. They would have split with Auburn on the year?
Yeah, their one loss would have been to Auburn, which they would have now split with. How do you put Auburn in there? They would have, what, three losses
because of the SEC game? Georgia would have the table.
Georgia would have the one loss.
Yeah, I think the only way Auburn gets in is if they run the table.
Georgia would have the one loss if they basically run the table and win the SEC championship game. Right?
But is that fair? I think Auburn only gets in if they run the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm saying it's weird. It's so funny to see what can happen now, because this past weekend just basically took the whole college football landscape, and there's so much that could happen now. If Wisconsin runs the table, they're probably in. But if they lose to Ohio State, what happens to Ohio State? Are they going to be in? I doubt it, but they're too far gone. But you got Miami and Clemson. What happens there? What if it's a close game and both of them are ranked in the top four? Does that? Because remember, everybody was saying, well, if it's Alabama-Georgia and they're in the SEC championship game and it's close, do you put them both in? Well, you got two teams in the top four. They just don't happen to be in the SEC. But if that's a close game, are you gonna bounce both of them? So this is gonna be fun, man.
But it is. That's what I like. I like it that it can sort, for the most part, it can sort itself out. Hopefully, we get better football games, and hopefully, by the end, when the dust clears, it'll be a clear four teams that deserve to be in there. I like it because it makes everything more interesting on a week-to-week basis, too.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm not even being a hater because I really don't care, but I would love to see Alabama lose the Iron Bowl, because then it gets real interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what, can you imagine Nick Saban if he somehow got left out?
If they lose that, then now they're not in the SEC championship game. So now they can't even claim the SEC championship game. You're going to have you could have a two-loss SEC champion or a one-loss SEC champion, and neither one of them is Alabama. Are you going to exclude all three? So then does the SEC not get a representative?
That's not.
Does the ACC get two plus Oklahoma and Wisconsin? If they run it's going to be fun,
dude. It should be a lot of fun.
I feel like the AP got it closer than the college football committee did this time. Because they had Bama 1, Miami 2, but then I definitely agree with the rest of the order, 3-6. So I think they got a little better, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think, again, we said you still have to play the schedule that's out in front of you, and you should reward for now because it doesn't have the impact of these are the Final Four and they're definitely going. It's just the rankings. Reward the undefeateds and let them play it out and see what happens. That's why Miami's undefeated. You know, they should be up
there. I don't know. Can you say reward the undefeated, though? Because, what, there's four teams left that are undefeated?
Who was the other one? Central Florida?
Yeah. You going to reward the undefeated?
Well,
if you're going to talk about strength of schedule and poo-poo on UCF, you kind of have to do that with Wisconsin. Yeah. I hate to say it.
Well, and I don't, because I stick to my guns on that. But
the undefeated, to me,
Central Florida,
if you're Miami,
variable is interesting.
If you're Miami and you've beaten the number three team in the nation and you're undefeated, then yeah, kudos to you. You're definitely legit.
If you're playing in a Power Five and you're undefeated at this point in the season, you should be rewarded.
Yep. And Wisconsin's close. They're five.
Yeah, but it's more difficult when you take a Central Florida because they're not playing that level of competition from a Power Five conference.
What hurts Wisconsin is their one win against a ranked team knocked them out of the rankings.
Well, two of them. They beat Northwestern, who was ranked, and they also
You're right. Northwestern is now ranked 23rd. So they get that. They beat Iowa, who is no longer ranked.
Right.
So they knocked them out of the rankings. So, yeah, that actually hurts a little bit. But, yeah, you're right. Northwestern does help. Michigan sitting at 24. They lose that game. Guess what? Michigan's not ranked. So now you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's what I'm saying. You just got to play the games from this point on that are on your schedule and then, you know, see where the cards fall. I don't feel good about it.
About Wisconsin?
Yeah,
I don't feel good for you either.
Yeah, I think that we're getting pretty close here on the Final Four, but it should be fun otherwise. But look, Big Ten doesn't look like it's going to have a representative. Josh Salopek says, hey, don't sleep on the Buckeyes getting back in the playoff race. Nope, they had their chances twice.
Yeah.
When you got pummeled and your ass handed to you in Iowa, at Iowa City, that basically put an end to all.
And you lost to OU, and there's, you know, four or five teams ahead of you that don't have those kinds of losses, so...
What's your thinking, my friend? All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to get you, what, the top 59 fast food joints?
All in one segment.
All in one segment. We're going to cover that and hopefully wrap it up, put a bow on it, and then turn it over to the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm actually a little mad at myself because I did research every other song on my list, including this one.
Sure. Well, who the hell? I mean, duh, the Fat Boys is pre-2000.
There were several that I had to check on.
You could have won with Going Back to Cali, but Notorious B.I.G., but you got disqualified for playing the Fat Joe track. Sorry.
You having fun? Just let me know when you're done. I had to check Missy Elliott, too, because she had some that were popular
I checked
after 2000
that too,
as well.
But that was a good song. That beat was sick by Timbaland.
Yep.
That was a really good track.
And Lisa said you could have just put Timbaland in there, but Timbaland, most was of his, fat, was post 2000.
Ben the Skeleton said, hell yeah, I heard my fat Pat. I'm back on board with The Usual Suspects is the best show in Houston.
You're welcome.
There you go.
You must have been talking about my fat Pat track.
Yeah, I was going to say you both played fat Pat.
Yeah, we both did, so chill out, Chief.
This show is lacking enthusiasm. Shut up, OU Mike. Just, I don't even know what that means.
But shut up, OU Mike. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so we were all checking out in our production meeting for the win as part of USA Today. Had a list of the 59 ranked fast food joints from worst to first. Not sure that I'd agree with a lot of it, but for the benefit of our listeners, we can just cover it.
This list sucks because it starts off terrible.
It kills one of yours and my personal choices.
It's crap. Right off the bat.
I don't think Texans in general would appreciate that number
one. I don't
one.
Think so. No, definitely not.
So, at the bottom...
59 fast food places. Yeah.
Two at 58 because there's a tie. And it's between Subway and Blimpy. And the author says, fast food hero sandwich is generally bad, but of the 59 fast food places listed, Subway and Blimpy hold a special distinction. Unless I was extremely, extremely hungry, if someone offered me a free Subway or Blimpy sandwich, I would turn it down and literally find anything else to eat.
I just don't understand
Blimpy.
I disagree.
What that, does Blimpy still exist?
They have to. They exist in other parts of the country.
Yeah,
they have
malls
see them in Houston
and
anymore.
Airports.
I guess.
All right, so 57 Pizza Hut.
So this
is that
guy's
a little low?
Yeah, I would put other things like A&W hot dogs behind it, the Pizza Hut.
Okay.
Is pizza fast food though?
Yeah.
Like some of these things, they put Skyline Chili in here and Nick had to ask what Skyline Chili was. Fair question, because it's basically just a chili place that's known in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah. That's ahead of Domino's, Little Caesars and Quiznos.
What?
I find all that insane.
I don't.
That a regional hot dog. Of course, I've never had it. I've never had it, so maybe they do have good hot dogs. Who knows?
Well, number 50 on the list is Arthur Treacher's, and I told you guys that was a fish and chip spot that we used to have back in the Midwest in the 70s. I don't think that they exist anymore, and if they do, I don't know anywhere that people think that they're going to even be on this list.
Never heard of it until it popped up on this list, I'll be honest with you.
Is there a cookout in like the Midwest, maybe in like Wisconsin? Because that's number four, and I've never heard of that.
A what?
Cookout. Oh, yeah, a cookout restaurant.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I haven't either. So some of the well-known ones that you've heard, 49 Papa John's, 48 Burger King, 47 Long John Silver's. Now, you did you like Long John Silver's, or did you hate Long John Silver's?
I hate Long John Silver's.
I could eat a whole bucket of just the little fried
the hush puppies?
Parts. No, the little, like, you know how you get the fish or the chips, which, by the way, they're all shaped the same and taste the same. I can never tell if I'm eating the fish or the chicken. from Long John Silver's. I don't know
it's
the difference.
Be dangerous. It's but those little, seafood.
But those little crumbs that you'll find at the bottom, yeah. You can order a side of that.
What?
Yeah, and they're delicious.
46 was Jersey Mike's. I love Jersey Mike's.
I like Jersey Mike's. I don't know. I mean, 46, it's not like it's really high in the list, so I'm okay with it.
This is what kills me. 44 is Panda Express.
Yeah.
No, player. I don't even know why Panda Express made this list. That's got to be 65.
45 is Sbarro. They're both just like mall food.
Yeah, that's not even. He said best pizza chain. Sbarro. Really?
Not even.
Get out of here. Arby's 43.
But they got bad bathrooms.
Crystal, yeah. McDonald's 41. Sonic 38. Sonic might be underrated a little bit. I tell you what.
Not a fan.
This dude is fat.
Why?
He has to be, because he ranked all the sub sandwiches. Jimmy John's is in 40s, too.
He
ranked all the healthier sandwiches at the bottom.
He has A&W 37.
That's Pita just Pit? Funny Never to heard me. Of it.
Steak and Shake, 35. Jack in the Box, 32. Wendy's, 30. We got to get to the top 10 here. White Castle's 27. And now I think White Castle might be underrated, but it's just not big down here. But White Castle. El Pollo Loco, 22. Okay. Roy Rogers, I've never heard of. Popeye's at 20. What else? Hardee's at 18. Biscuitville? Have you guys ever heard of Biscuitville?
Well, I tell you, I loved Hardee's growing up.
Did you?
Oh, man. They're chicken sandwiches. Ooh.
Biscuitville. Exactly what it sounds like. A biscuit-driven breakfast and lunch chain mostly found in the Carolinas. They offer a fried steak biscuit, which is my jam. That was what he said about Biscuitville. All right.
What's a Chiffetti?
I don't know. Raising Cane's is at 15. Number 14. Pay attention, Texas. Number 14, Whataburger.
Put some respect on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's going to get a lot of people fired up.
13 is Freddy's, which I really like. Freddy's is pretty delicious. 12 is Golden Krust. Never heard of that.
Me either.
11, Chick-fil-A. 10, Zaxby's. Which Zaxby's is, if you don't know what that is, it's just like Raising Cane's, just more options.
And I think Raising Cane's is fantastic.
Here's where his list loses all credibility other than the fact that he had Panda Express in the top 60. Taco Bell checks in at number 9.
No.
Taco Bell is garbage.
Yeah, like, it might be up there if you're 16.
Ass.
I will eat it late at night, like if I have a gig and it's 1 in the morning and I'm coming, I'll stop and get some Taco Bell. But that's it's just not an everyday rotation thing. Number 8 is In-N-Out. So he's definitely In-N-Out over Whataburger guy. But
neither one of them ranked high enough.
Yeah, but the World Series proved that it's Whataburger over In-N-Out.
Good
Number 7 is Culver's. You ever eaten at Culver's?
Yes, in the Midwest.
Very good.
Popular.
Their restaurant. Concrete mixers are delish. Number 6, Bojangles.
Not familiar.
I've never eaten at Bojangles.
It says king amongst traditional fast food fried chicken joints.
I've never had Bojangles.
I haven't either.
I would, but I put Frenchies ahead of Bojangles, and I've never even had it.
Now, 5 is another one I've never heard of. Good Times?
Never had a Good Times burger. I've had a good time eating a burger, but I've never had a Good Times burger. I don't know what that is.
This just tells us that we're missing out on a bunch of good burgers.
Right? Good Times is a Colorado-based chain with only 38 locations, but they make some of the best fast food I've ever had in my life. Might have been smoking some weed before he got there.
Right? He said, spoiler alert, you're going to get angry as you go through the top 5. So number 4 is Cookout. Never heard of that.
Nope.
That's his number 4. Number 3, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Bonchon?
Bonchon.
Have you had that?
I believe so.
What the hell is it?
It's like teriyaki-style chicken and burger. It's like a burger joint, but it's got everything.
It says, here's what it says. How do you improve fried chicken? Trick question, suckers. There's nothing better than fried chicken, but one especially delicious version of fried chicken comes from Bonchon, a growing Southern Korean, which fries up its extra crispy with coated in one of its tasty sauces. Number 2 is Burgerville. Never heard of it, but the burger looks whack.
Oh, in Portland they have Burgerville.
It looks terrible.
It does look really bad on the
It
picture.
Looks like a healthy tofu turkey
burger.
Yeah,
it's a Pacific Northwest chain.
Yeah, and number 1 is Shake Shack.
Really?
Oh, see, I confused it. I do. Yeah, you're right. I don't think Texans will appreciate that either, but I thought it was In-N-Out that was number 1. But even Shake Shack is not something I think Texans would
approve
of.
They started having Shake Shacks here, right?
Yep. I think they have like one.
They
maybe
have
two.
One. They have one, and
one
it's
at Minute Maid.
Minute Maid and overrated.
Well,
because we waited for it. Remember?
Oh yeah, that's right.
It was not good.
It really wasn't
really?
That good.
That's
not
the
good.
Only one they have in Houston.
No, I think there's one on Westheimer, right?
Is there?
I thought there was a couple of.
Are you sure it's not a Steak and Shake? You're
Could
not confusing
be.
It.
Could be
because I think a lot of people confuse Shake Shack with Steak and Shake, but I've had Shake Shack. Didn't like it. Not a fan for the price and the weight. Remember, because I screwed up my order and we had to wait because...
Thus the name fast food.
Yeah, but I mean, other places don't screw it up. Chick-fil-A.
That's what I'm saying. You
there's one
have to
right
wait.
Here in the Galleria, yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is there?
Yep, right here on Westheimer.
Oh, well. Then I'm not going
get it
there.
Up on the way home.
No, I'm good. I'd rather go to Whataburger. What is Cheeburger Cheeburger? That was 31. I don't know what that is.
A John Belushi skit on Saturday Night Live?
Some of these are kind of weird, but I guess this dude travels or is just a dedicated fat ass that drives horse. Over the country.
Or he's a horse. God. I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I think we could come up with a better list.
Oh, I think so. We could come up with 59 restaurants in this city better than half of the stuff.
I don't know if I would put pizza places as... I wouldn't
fast
list
food?
Them.
It's a good point.
I would exclude the Domino's, the Pizza Huts.
It's not that fast, right? It's at least a half hour.
That's my... I mean, that's... I don't view Pizza Huts and Domino's as fast food restaurants.
I was looking at this before we go. I was looking at this mock draft for 2018, and we're going to have mock drafts out the wazoo. But just I just found it curious to see what the Texans... They have the Cleveland Browns from the Texans at number 8. They have the Browns taking Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State quarterback.
A lot of people like him.
Yeah. Think they get it right this time if they go that route?
No.
Me neither.
The Browns.
The Browns. They'll screw it
That's
up.
That's right. All right, we've run out of time, so there it is for a Way Back Wednesday. Had some fun, got some tunes, and got you guys involved, which we always love to do. We're going to be back tomorrow and the rest of the week, so make sure you tune in 1 to 4 p.m. on The Usual Suspects. Coming up next, it's Jong, it's Fred, it's AJ, it's The Blitz, right here on ESPN 97.5.